Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, it is our great joy and delight to come to you with studies in 1 Peter. And I just trust that you are reading the epistle through a number of times, so keep up with your reading, for the more you read the Word of God, the more it finds lodgment into your life, into your mind, into your heart. And I am sure that when you mean business with God, He means business with you. It's an amazing thing that the living, eternal, sovereign God should do any business with man. But He delights to have man come to Him and do business with Him. And God has given to us in His Word the revelation not only of Himself, of His character, of His heart, but also of His purpose. And then the great desire of His heart for those who accept His Son as their Savior, their relationship the one to the other, as well as their relationship with Him. And here we've been finding in the first chapter of 1 Peter of how that because of our relationship and because of the fact we belong to the same Father, to the same family, being born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, then there should be that pure, fervent love one for another. Now allow me to read again in 1 Peter, starting in verse 22. I know I'm repeating this, but I do want you to get this into your heart and mind. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth or fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now he brings in here the question of the fact that we're born of the word of God. This brings us into, I say, an intimate, permanent relationship with God, having the same Father, having the same life, and the same relationship. Now, may I just spend a moment on this question of being born again of the indestructible, incorruptible Word of God. You remember in John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, he's not talking about being baptized. The word there is not to be baptized. The word is to be born. Same word we have in James chapter 1, verse 18, when we read, "Of his own will begat he us by the word of truth." Same thought in 2 Peter 1, 4, when he said, "By these wonderful, precious promises, we have been made partakers of the divine nature." It's the word of God. This is the tool that God uses not only to reveal himself and to reveal his purpose for man, but this is the word whereby we come into real fellowship with God himself. Do you remember Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life." And if I am born again of the word of God, then I am as eternal as the word of God of that of which I am born. I wish in some way I could make this very, very precious and very clear to you. The word of God is the greatest weapon God has ever given to us. You remember the Lord said you're clean through the word. And if you go through your Bible, you'll find the great thing that God wants of men is that men should believe his word. Nothing delights the heart of God more than that. He just loves his creatures to manifest that trust, that faith, that confidence in him. And I manifest that confidence in God by believing what he says. He underwrites every word by his name. Someone tells you what their name is and you take their word for it. Now, if you have no confidence in the character of the one who says, "My name is Bill Smith," whatever it may be, there's a big question mark whether he's telling you the truth. But if you If a man says, this is what my name is, you accept his name because of the man who says it. In other words, the character of the man is behind what he says. And you believe him according to your estimate of his character. Now he is a holy God, a righteous God, who makes certain statements, the word of God. And I manifest my confidence in God by believing what he says. And he says we're born of the Spirit and we're born of the word of God. It's the Spirit of God using the word of God in any open heart. He's not asking you, my friend, to do something great, except he wants you to believe him. All we can do is to give to you the word of God. The Spirit of God always takes that word and makes it to live in an open heart. If your mind is closed, your heart is closed, your life is closed to him, the Spirit of God will not make the word real to you. But I want to say to you today, a person is made entirely in you by the Spirit of God using the Word of God. As Paul could say to the Thessalonian church in chapter 2, you received the message we brought to you as it was indeed the Word of God. And you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. You see, it's the Spirit of God using the Word of God through the man of God. This is God's purpose. This is how God operates today in the human family. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God through the child of God. And the weakest link, of course, is the child of God. The Word of God is established forever. As the 119th Psalm, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And may I add here, when my present generation of critics have gone off the scene, and they've been coming on for 1900 years, man has criticized and rejected the Word of God, but the Word of God is still here. And my friend, you can burn all the Bibles you want to. I'll tell you that the Word of God will be here as long as God wants it to be here. It's forever settled in heaven. And what he has said, he will surely perform. And when God says to a sinner, if you'll put your trust in my Son as your own personal Savior, I will guarantee to you, on the ground that I've raised my Son from the dead, that you will pass from death to life, that you'll enjoy real forgiveness of sins. You'll become a child of the living God, and you will become an eternal personality. That is, you'll become eternal. As our Lord said in John 10, 28 and 29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone plunder them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to plunder them out of my Father's hand. You see, the Word of God is the tool used. So Peter here says, we've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. All other relationships are transitory. They're passing. They're perishable. And we are as eternal as the one of whom we are born again. I want this thing is very, very clear. You see, the life of man is just like the grass of the field. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. James says the life of man is a fleeting shadow. We're here and we're gone. But here we have a life, a relationship that is never broken. It goes on forever. Now I say all other relationships down here are just passing things. Wouldn't it be a point of wisdom, my friend, for you to be sure that you belong to a family that's eternal? You see, before a person comes to know the Savior, they do not have too much moral capacity to be obedient to God. But the moment we obey the truth and are born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, there comes into us the Spirit of God who gives us the moral capacity even to love the people of God, the ordinary ones as well as the lovely ones, with an unfeigned love. I repeated that verse and I repeat it again, Romans 5:5, for the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. And that's why I say God has no confidence in the flesh. Before you and I were saved, we were selfish, we were corrupt, we were ungodly. And as our Lord said in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 and 23, out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication. He goes on, gives you a list of 13 sins that come out of the human heart. But now, having been born of the Word of God, an incorruptible Word, an eternal Word, we've been made over anew. So what the Apostle Paul means in 2 Corinthians 5:17 when he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, in his risen, glorified Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, this being so, having a permanent, eternal relationship with God, belonging to the same family, then we ought to love with an unfeigned love. We ought to love fervently with a heart love. And the very mark of being a member of the family of God down here on earth is loving the brethren. It's just something eternal. This is something that's of God. It's divine to love your brother with a pure heart fervently. I know some are pretty hard to get along with. I grant you that. I suppose you say that about me. And somebody might be saying that about you. But be that as it may, it doesn't alter the fact that we are to love with an unfeigned love, because we've all been born, I'm speaking of God's people, been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And I repeat it, I want to get this into your heart, into your very life. This relationship through the Word of God in the family of God is a permanent, eternal relationship with God and with each other. Brother, whether you like it or no, you've got to spend eternity with all God's people. You've got to spend eternity with me, whether you like it or no, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we're down here in frailty and weakness. I know that some of God's people are hard to get along with. But why don't we manifest some of that divine love which has been shed abroad in our hearts? By loving even the unlovely. This is what Peter's talking about. We either be holy because our Father is holy. We ought to walk a holy life because we're walking before Him who is righteous and holy. And down here we ought to walk before men loving the brethren with a pure heart, fervently, real, genuine love, the one for the other. And remember again, not only because we're redeemed, but because we've been born again of the precious, eternal Word of God. Which leads me to the first verse of chapter 2. And this first verse of chapter 2, which introduces to another part of 1 Peter, which has to do with a new family, a new race of people. And the very first thing he talks about, which is right in line with the first chapter, rule out the chapter division there. Oftentimes these chapter divisions spoil things. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, and so on. Will you please notice in the first verse, it calls for action. It's not a passive thing. It's an active thing. Wherefore, laying aside, like putting off your cloak, putting off your overcoat, lay aside, throw it off you. We are a separate people. We've been born into the family of God. We're a heavenly people. We are related to the eternal God who is holy and righteous. The moment I claim that I'm a child of one who is God, and that God, my heavenly Father, is holy and righteous, then my life ought to be a life of separation from that which is evil. Did you hear what I said? Wherefore, laying aside all malice, it's a definite action, I say. And few seem to realize that there's absolutely nothing in the old that will commend itself to God. So God makes us absolutely new. This is what he's going to talk about. Now lay aside every sin. Everything of sin is centered as a rule in self-will. malice to guile to slander. This is what you have, from malice to guile to slander. A malicious disposition leads to the rest of it. And these are not to be covered up. They're to be thrown away. Filthy rags. You can't mend them. You can't wash them. They're just fit to be thrown away. And some people, you know, try to improve the old life by discipline. And it, for some reason or other, it doesn't work, does it? We presume sometimes also on the grace of God. We say, well, I'm a Christian. I can do what I want to do. No, you can't. And God cares for us. And God loves us. And he never leaves us. If I become self-willed and stubborn, if you become that way, if you're a child of God, then don't be surprised if you fall under the chastening hand of God. Now, it says here we are to lay aside, throw off these things. May I suggest Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 31, and Colossians chapter 3. And if you read those things, we are to lay aside all these different sins. Why? Because they're inconsistent with one who belongs to the family of God. My friend, do not measure your love for truth by the way you hate the opposition or by those who disagree with you. Don't be negative in this matter. There are some people who are so valiant for the truth, they spend all the time knocking the other thing, being negative. May I say, if the presentation of truth does not free you from the error you're in, nothing else will. It's cause for a walk with God. I was talking to some college-age young people the other day in California. And, you know, these dear young people were on their toes asking me questions. And I just asked the question, do you young people belong to the Lord? They said, yes. Are you heavenly citizens? Yes, Philippians 3:20 says we belong to heaven. We're children of God. Then how does he expect you to walk on earth? As the child of the devil or as the child of God? Put aside all those things of the old. Malice, that vicious disposition, and all guile, all deceit, and all hypocrisies, and envying, which is the rottenness of the bones, and all evil speaking. Throw the things away. Don't slander anybody. And don't be vicious in your attitude to somebody, even though they disagree with you. Even though they don't believe, even though they do not believe what you believe, do not belong to the group you belong to. I say, my friend, having a relationship with God that's eternal and permanent, and belong to the same family, being born of the same precious word of God, indwelt by the same Spirit of God, let us love one another fervently. That's our relationship one to the other. And then concerning the world, let us live as the children of God, free from a vicious disposition, free from malice, and throw overboard all guile, all hypocrisies, all deceit, and all malice and slander. Let's get rid of the whole business. May the Lord deliver us from envy and from jealousy. Now, I've spoken out of turn, maybe. You may think I have, but I want you to mark our love for the brethren, our separation unto God, marks us out on earth as the children of one who is God. May we live that way today. The Lord bless you. May he make his face to shine upon you today for his name's sake.